We were at peace in the Jefferson years, but we were not at peace in the years of the president who followed him. And the president who followed him decided to punch the British in the nose with a couple of skirmishes that were instigated by American warships in the Mediterranean. This would lead to the War of 1812. This would lead to British troops landing here. This would lead to their burning the White House and burning the Capitol building. And quite frankly, what didn't start this way almost became an effort to take back the colonies. We, of course, also attacked British troops in what is now Canada in an effort to instigate this war. So we instigated the war in the Mediterranean and in Canada, and it ends up being fought here. It was fought in the hills of Maryland, where outside Upper Marlboro, Maryland, a platoon of 50 British soldiers was marching through the town when they kidnapped four townsfolk and threatened to hang them. On the night before the hanging, a local militia from the town invaded the British encampment and kidnapped six British soldiers and threatened to hang them. Of course, the hanging of the townsfolk was postponed until this standoff could be resolved. How was it resolved? John Hodges, who was the mayor of Upper Marlboro, marched very bravely without any armaments, without any support, directly into the British encampment, introduced himself to the captain and said, "I'm the mayor of this town. I'll make you a trade. I have a deal for you. We'll return the six troops. You return the four townsfolk." The captain said yes. The troops went back to their colleagues. The townsfolk came home. The War of 1812 was ended, not because of this, but at about the same time. The British went home. The new country was preserved. There was a tumultuous parade in Upper Marlboro. At the parade are all local, state, and federal officials, and the guest of honor, the parade marshal, is the mayor because of what he did. At the end of the parade, there's a speech from a podium, not unlike this. The one federal judge in that part of Maryland introduces the mayor and praises him to the skies. The mayor gives a speech. The crowd goes crazy. The mayor walks down off the podium when two strangers meet him. One of them hands him a piece of paper. The other, as he reaches to grab the paper, puts handcuffs, shackles on his two wrists, and they cart him away. They were both federal agents, handing him an indictment for treason, providing aid and comfort to the enemy in wartime by returning the British soldiers to the rest of their troops. What the heck is this? This is the Justice Department deciding to prosecute a genuine, if ever there was, American hero. So the trial comes. The federal judge that introduced him at the end of the parade is the one presiding over the trial. Everybody in the jury had either marched in or watched the parade. The U.S. attorney prosecuting him was also on that dais at the end of the parade. So the U.S. attorney stands up and said, "Well, look, Your Honor, everybody knows what he did. It was an act of treason, even though I applauded it at the time. I didn't realize it until the passage of time." Defense counsel stands up and says, "We know what he did, and everybody in this courtroom appreciated it." The judge then says, I'll show you how different the days are today, "Gentlemen of the jury," there were no ladies on juries in those days, it's a much better system today, "gentlemen of the jury, I want you to go across the street to the local tavern where we have reserved a table for you and plenty of liquid refreshment. And when you consume the liquid refreshment, come back here and give us your verdict." At this point, the jury foreman raises his hand and says, "Your Honor, even though we would love to partake in the court's generosity at the tavern across the street, we don't have to deliberate. We already know the verdict." "You know the verdict already?" "Yes." "What is it?" "The verdict is not guilty." So, of course, everybody in the courtroom goes wild. It's a just and fair result. What was that? That was the first example of jury nullification. That was 12 farmers saying to the almighty federal government, "You see this threshold? Thou shalt not cross it if your heart is unjust." Go!
Beacon Podcast.
Coming at you live. The jail house gets empty.
Ruby gets plenty. The baton's thick its shoulder. Rudy gets tall.
down a hair.
Don't be a rude person.
Don't be rude,
people.
Douchebag, people.
Don't send innocent individuals to jail for crimes that are maybe shouldn't be considered crimes. What would you say, Mr. Matt?
Yes. Does everybody agree that we have a problem in this country of too many laws?
Absolutely.
Well, that being said, I guarantee you every single person breaks some law every single day.
Every single president we've had, well, in my lifetime, has either smoked marijuana, done coke, or committed a crime, and they are not locked up.
Yeah, and then they joke around about it, right?
They're like, oh, never got caught. Daddy was like, a millionaire.
Okay, I think that's personally funny because I've never gone to jail, but there's people that have had their lives, like, wrecked because that law is on the books. What's that, like 60% of the people in jails are drug offenders?
They had a plant on them.
Victimless crimes. Nobody else hurts but themselves for that crime.
Should it be considered a crime if there's no victim?
Well, why would alcohol be legal then and some of these other substances not, you know? So we're going to get into this. Jury nullification. This is the Beacon Podcast. We're so glad to have you back. Me and Nick are coming at you live from the Studio.
It's been a long time and we are stoked. We got a growler of some delicious local brewery here. And
let's a try here.
Yes, let's see what this is about.
Ooh.
Is it the bomb dog?
Flavorful. Yeah, it's good.
It's called Allegiance IPA.
Oh, yes.
By Bravery Brewing.
Check out on the door of that fridge. The tall ones. You're going to like this. Well, anyways, it's Allegiance.
I got to give myself some room.
Oh. Sorry, now it's become a chore.
Tall boys, oh!
Legions, kid.
Yeah, I was gonna go the, what do they call them, torpedoes or whatever, the large bottles, or bombers? It's called a bomber, I believe.
Really? Bigger than that?
No, like those bit large, not quite a 40, but it's like a couple pints, I think.
Really?
But nice. I said, let's go growler it up.
Heck yeah.
For the studio.
Growler,
you
know? How much is in a growler?
I think it's a gallon, I believe.
Really?
Let me see.
Damn.
1.89 liters.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are so glad that you're here with us. We are loving some of the feedback that we're getting from you guys. And keep it up.
Promote freedom and liberty.
Yes.
In this great land.
We've been saying that now for how long on this show?
Dude.
It seems like every day that message gets more and more important.
What bothers me is, like, dude, you know, I've learned a lot on this show, like, with the research that we've all done for these shows, and it's just sad to see it coming into fruition and people just being sheeple.
And we have
people called are sheeple.
Yeah, so why could they be? Nobody says.
But, oh, my God. You know, gun control going, you know, the way it is, and politicians just fucking us the way they do. I mean,
are we all pretty much now like the veil is falling right now? Like, now it's becoming blatantly obvious that we're being lied to and that these politicians do not have your best interests in mind.
No, absolutely.
They have their own selfish interests in mind. And it's the nature of governments to grow. And that's why it was so important that a document, that our founding document was written with that knowledge in mind that that would happen. And so it put checks and balances into the system because it almost is a paranoid document, extremely paranoid document, saying someday this government is going to turn on its own people. They absolutely knew it. That's absolutely happening. It should be without any doubt in anybody's mind now. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, they knew it's like human nature for governments to just keep taking and growing.
Yeah.
And
yeah. And it's a government is like a big beast that is made up of many, 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 many humans, but when they're all acting in a selfish desire for themselves and they're willing to disobey the rule of law, you end up getting a lot of the results that we're getting. You get crony capitalism, which is not capitalism. It's not free market capitalism. It's a corrupt form of it where the government is in bed with the large corporations and sometimes even grants them monopoly power to do certain things. And then you also get a huge, like an extension of that would be the military industrial complex, where you have these huge defense companies. It's not the government. The government doesn't own any plants, at least to my knowledge in our system. They're contracting through these private companies that have major, huge contracts with the government.
To build weapons and...
To build weapons, yeah.
Artillery and whatnot, yeah.
Yeah, and the government buys that stuff off of money that it borrows from the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then the debt ends up increasing even more. Like, it's this sick process that's going on.
So it's not a coincidence that some of the largest companies in America, the richest in America, make their profits off of war.
Yeah. And
that's a coincidence, right? Like, why we were fighting war all the time? Like, why we're at perpetual war?
And they happen to have, like, extremely huge lobbies that lobby Congress. Like, AIPAC. AIPAC. AIPAC is a pro-Israel, like, Jewish lobby group. And anybody in the media that ever bags on AIPAC is always attacked by the anti-Semite watchdog, which is the Anti-Defamation League.
Well,
they'll come after them and they'll go, oh, they're anti-Semites, they're racist. Every single time. Everybody,
the race card.
Yeah. Well, the simple point is, we don't need to be over there spending money defending a country that isn't us and piss off the whole Middle East. That's what we're doing. We're pissing off the whole Middle East because we have Israel's back. Well, AIPAC is like one of, if not the biggest, most powerful lobby group in Washington. And so we wonder why we're sending the military industrial complex over there to fuck up all of these Arab nations. And then we also kind of wonder why we're receiving the backlash from this, why they think that we are the great devil, and why they are going to, we can absolutely predict this, they're going to send people over here to, we're going to call it, terrorize us. But what they think they're doing is defending themselves. Mm-hmm. They believe that this is the age-old predicted battle for them of the Christians versus the Muslims. And they think that this is like go time. So they're getting reared up. But if we wouldn't have gone over there and fucked with them in the first place, that shit wouldn't have happened. They wouldn't have done the jihad. The jihad is a defensive war.
Mm-hmm.
That they launch when they feel like they're being fucked with enough.
Yeah, have you seen like side-by-side photos of like before and after, like Iraqi freedom and this and that? Like, oh, we're going in to help them and this and that. And then it's like, it's a full-on city. You know, you might not agree with what they do over there, but that's their land. Who gives a fuck, right?
Right.
And then now it's just like rubble and nothing and just...
Oh, yeah. Libya? I guess Libya right now is like, they've pretty much declared it like defunct. Like... It is a non-operational government. Like, there is... It's almost like an anarchistic society right now. And not in a good way.
Yeah. Like, yeah, at first I'm like, oh, yeah.
No, like no law at all. I believe there's hardly any government structure.
It's just major depression.
Yeah, we just went over there and fucked everything up. Yeah. Well, we wanted Muammar Gaddafi out. And what was told to us in America was that he was, mowing down his own citizens with machine guns. There was an uprising. There was the Arab Spring was and really kind of, I would consider still is, a Muslim uprising. Revolution. And it's going on in most major countries, because you have secret societies that are fomenting revolutions in almost every country right now. Muammar Gaddafi was attempting to make Libya a strong government. He was trying to actually wean away from the US dollar and trade oil for, he was trying to recreate their money into this like gold-backed dinar. And whenever you start pulling away from the Western dollar like hegemony, then you're fucking with like the most powerful people in the world at that point. And they will fuck you up. And then, you know, how many months later, and then the United Nations declares that we need to have a peacekeeping effort. And so all the military, like all the militaries that belong to the UN that don't want to piss off the United Nations, send troops and they do a peacekeeping mission, which it's so funny that these terms are even called peacekeeping when it really it's go over there and fuck them up and make them a defunct anarchy now, you know. It's just what we're told in the Western media is absolutely like this sugar-coated form of like bullshit. And then what kills me is like when I end up going like even shopping somewhere and your checker's like, "Do you believe what that goddamn Gaddafi's doing to his own citizens?"
You know? It's like, well, how would you believe anything else if that's what the new, you know, this is the news is telling it to you. The journalists are checking it out. Like, you can't call it journalism anymore.
Yeah.
When, especially when it, you know, there's two types of news. You have Fox News, you have MSNBC. It's like, what political agenda do you want to follow?
And it's a dialectic to attract your two most extreme, like, personality types.
Yeah. Fucking drop bombs on them. Fuck them.
That's so, dude, at
blow
work.
Blow them up, dude. Fuck it.
That's the same.
Fucking like, goat fuckers.
I'll channel that attitude at work just as like a joke because, and people will think I'm being serious and they'll agree with me. Like if they're watching the news or something and it's like, yeah, this is going on in whatever, Syria. And I'm like, we should just fucking nuke them. And
I'll do it. Yeah, that'll fix everything.
I'll do it in that like south, like that southern voice. For some reason, that's like the voice you should do it in.
Which sucks for the guys like with an accent, you know.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure there's a lot of peaceful guys who have an accent from the south or whatever. But
I'm sorry if you're a southerner and you're like a really like, you know, you're not a douchebag.
Man, all I want to do is go down to the holler and crack a beer and barbecue something. Goddamn, these motherfuckers tell me I'm a hate breeder and want to nuke some bitches all the time. Goddamn, I was going to take my kids out, go out and catch a fish and catch a deer and some bitch. Fuck.
I didn't do nothing to nobody. As a matter of fact, if a fly lands on a table, well, I'd sure as hell just wave it off and kill it.
Yeah, I'm not going to aggress on that there fly. That there fly has a right to life, if you ask me. Shit.
His body is his private
now,
property.
I'll hook me a fish and I'll eat it, but goddamn, I got to eat, you know.
All right, man. It's been a long time. Let's catch up. How are you doing? What's new?
Oh, man. Just, nothing's new. I'm a workaholic douchebag, if you ask me.
Yeah.
I never get the fuck out and do anything fun anymore.
Really? That's how I feel, too.
If I'm not working overtime or working my ass off or stressed out from work, it's just I'm working on the house, trying to keep my lawn nice and dog shit picked up. And
yeah.
You know, that's what I deal with. My dog fucking pisses and kills the grass all the time. It's just like constantly. Really? Yeah.
Damn.
But, you know, he's a German Shepherd. Super strong piss, dude. Damn. And
that's got to be useful in some application, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, when we go out to walks, like, he saves it for these certain locations to let other fucking dogs know, hey, this is my shit, this is my piss.
You know? He's like, yeah.
But he still fucks with me. Like, I think we talked about it on the last show. Like, I go, I pick up all this shit, and I go to mow the lawn, and I'm on my, like, half pass, and he'll be just torquing one out right in the middle of my fucking pass, like, right in front of me, like, hey, man, I shit here. Don't be fucking picking up my shit here. You know, like,
he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. He slaps your hand with his paw. He's like, leave it.
Yeah. What else has been going on with me?
Hey, did you ever handle that like barking thing? Like you had a barking situation. Like,
oh yeah, they don't bark as much anymore.
Okay,
but you know, all the dogs in the neighborhood bark.
For somebody that didn't listen to our last episode, you had a lady that came up to you, like a neighbor lady that came up to you, and she was saying that she didn't appreciate your dog barking, and
she wanted to buy a house around the corner from me, and she goes, "Do you happen to have a dog that like has a real deep bark, and you know this and that?" And I'm going, "Well, I do. Yeah, I mean, if people come up close to the house, yeah, they bark. You know, or sometimes if other dogs start barking, they'll bark. You know." But I don't know if that's my dog. You know, there's a lot of dogs in the neighborhood. But she hasn't came around, no.
Okay, good.
I don't think she bought the house.
Oh.
But, you know, I talked to my neighbor behind me, and they did say, yeah, your dog barks a lot, but it's like only if people come around, you know. Yeah. So they're doing their job, and my neighbors are cool with it.
And it's not like it's just sitting out there like, hello, hello, bark, bark. like just trying to get like another Barker involved or something.
No, yeah, he's just they said, yeah, if people come walking around, yeah, they'll bark, you know.
Yeah.
So I was asking, because I was asking my neighbor, he goes, oh, that chick's a nutbag anyway, like, fuck that lady, you know. What it was is like some, they were divorcing and the lady was trying to keep the house and she was just being a nutbag, so.
Okay.
But I don't have anything else interesting in my life. Got a new truck.
You did?
Yeah, so I've been enjoying that. Working on my old truck so I could sell it. Some guys at work want to buy it.
Oh, so you didn't trade it in or anything? No. You get it from a dealership or private property? Or private?
Dealership. I got on a website, truecar.com.
Okay.
That's how I found it. And
pretty good experience there?
Not bad, yeah. I was like, I'd have to deal with the salesman douchebaggy stuff, like where they're trying to.
Yeah.
I mean, they still do it, you know. Once, you know, because I said no haggle pricing, right? And they're like, yeah. I said, okay, I'm coming to come pick it up. And got there, and then the salesman was cool. We drove around. You know, he didn't have all the answers to all my questions, but I already knew what I wanted and got the fucking truck. But
yeah.
So I've been enjoying that, you know.
Yeah.
Back into the payment.
What'd you get?
An F-150.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
I always buy them a couple years old, so you don't have to, you know, they're the value, you know.
For sure.
Like, you're not playing the inflated amount.
$1,000 get dropped off the price just driving it.
Exactly. Yeah.
So. What, is it like an extra cab?
Yeah, I got the four-door extra cab, you know, because if you want to take people out, friends out, I went, you know.
Or even have, like, stuff.
Yeah, stuff. Like, right now, I got golf clubs in the back of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we like to go camping and stuff, and we were always taking Marina's car everywhere we went all the time, and I was just like, you know, I'm going to get a nice car that I could take her out to dinner in. You know, it's a truck. I use that as a truck, but
yeah,
it's a little nicer than what I really need. But
now you have a payment.
But I got a payment.
Yeah.
But
for
whatever.
5 years or something.
But yeah, I think I could pay it off quick if I stay diligent, because I'm still... You know, I don't blow a lot of money on anything.
Yeah.
I got new speakers for my record player. That's another...
The LP?
Yeah. Been listening to records. That's my...
How's it sound with a good set of speakers?
Oh, bitching, dude. So good. Like, I'm getting... Marina is into records now. Like, she looks forward to me, like, putting on some records.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got some... their Yamaha HS... excuse me, 8s.
Mm-hmm.
Which are just studio speakers.
Yeah.
And they just are basically subwoofer speakers, and we're loving them. It's just when we're out cooking, blast those suckers, dude.
Nice.
So that's been a good thing, because that helps me with all the stress at work. Just come home, put on music. You know, I used to like drink a beer and watch the news, but the news pisses you off. And
we actually gave up cable TV.
That's good.
Last month. And so now, if I want to get my news, like, I go seek it out. And, yeah, I'll hit some mainstream stuff. Not necessarily...
Just to see what's being out there.
Yeah, I want to know what's being put out there. And then also, you can... like, and this is a good, like, technique for you guys at home. Like, I'll have some people that go, how do you know what... media to believe, what not to believe, how to investigate a story, and that's a
read
really
all of them.
Good question.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Is get as much information, and then usually the answer, at least for me, the answer kind of starts poking out its head. And plus, once you learn more about history, then you learn about agendas, and you know what groups are doing what, and then everything starts clicking a little bit more. But it's a long process, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'll check out, you check out both. So we've talked on, I think, was it episode 11 or the Socialist Utopian Delusion, where we actually got into Hegel and we talked about the Hegelian dialectic and how, the world kind of gets split up into dualistic energies, positive, negative, electricity, dark enlightenment, good and evil. You know what I mean? Like, there was a group, actually, there was a religion that was, a lot of religions are kind of based on that principle, like Manichaeanism.
The pillars of...
Yeah, exactly. Like, Kabbalah pillars are the same thing. Male, female,
mm-hmm.
Aggressive, passive. Yeah, for sure. That actually, I think in that episode we talked about the Hermetic philosophy and the Hermetic laws, and that there's the principle of gender, the principle of polarity, and the principle of polarity is that everything has a
balance.
A balance, a polarity to it. That's the purpose of that yin and yang symbol, right?
Yeah.
So
my favorite tattoo for the tramp stamp.
For sure.
Or if you're like a tough guy, you gotta get an armband right in the middle.
Yeah, for sure.
From the 90s. Get the Birkenstocks going.
But then if you end up working out your triceps too much, then it kind of gets like oblong.
It's not polar anymore.
So with that dialectics stuff, you take American news and you go, okay, American news is split up on a dialectic basis. You got your conservative, I have quotes up, okay? Conservative and liberal media, and those become kind of polar opposites and like to battle with each other. So there's the dialectic there in America. But then also compare that news with foreign news. That's why I really like RT. Not because I think they're like a benevolent news source, because they've got their own spin. Everything's talking shit about America and the American state. Well, of course, Russia has a very vested interest in people in America being pissed off at our government, you know? So they're exposing a lot of the stuff that our government's doing. But that's Russia today. They plan on fomenting a revolution here in America, and then when we're weak, who knows, maybe strike. But compare the two medias here in America, and then once you get a kind of an idea there, compare it with foreign media sources
like
also.
BBC and stuff, do you ever?
Yeah, BBC, or like even the United Nations will have some news service, but Russia will have some news service also, and they have a completely opposite spin usually. Not that theirs is right or ours is right, but to get the big picture, usually you end up getting enough information to get a real good idea of what's kind of going on there, you know. What do you think about this most recent shooting? Have you looked into it much, been able to see?
No, which one is this?
Orlando just had a shooting. It's been the biggest shooting in American history. 56 people I think are dead now, and it was a Orlando nightclub, a gay nightclub, and it was shot up by, at least what the media is saying right now, is it was shot up by a Muslim who has ties to and pledged allegiance to ISIS. So he went there to shoot up a gay club. So now, I mean, if you're on social media at all, like, it's just lit up. Like, my social media right now is like, I hate even going on it after something like this. Because everybody starts changing their profile pictures to fucking, it's, I guarantee it's
rainbow stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Like after the France thing, it was like a French flag. And I remember when Cecil the Lion was murdered. Like,
we have to act more bothered by things than we really are.
And it's like hurting.
We'll
mentality.
Forget about it in a fucking week, you know, like.
Yeah, it sucks. Yeah, it always sucks if somebody gets killed that wasn't aggressing on somebody else, you know, like they...
Nobody cares about the gorilla anymore.
Yeah, what happened to the gorilla? That thing was huge, right?
Nobody cares about fucking Bruce Jenner anymore.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true. See, well, exactly.
I was thinking about that today, not that in general, but like, you could watch like I Love the 90s or whatever decade, right? And celebrity is such a big deal, but it's so fucking for such a small glimmer, right? Like, you could be a celebrity, but you ain't gonna be shit in a year from now. Like, I was thinking about I don't know what made me think about it, Orange County Choppers, you know, that was a big show and everyone's like, oh, those are the best bikes ever, like everyone's wearing OCC shirts, and now it's like nobody gives a fuck at all.
Yeah,
right?
Like, there's no,
it was
way.
The biggest thing and then it went away.
So what's the big thing right now? Because we could basically guarantee that that's not gonna last.
Exactly.
Like, the Beacon Podcast is huge right now, right? I'm just kidding. No,
well, like selfies, you know, I think people will be embarrassed. I think someday, you know.
Well, have you seen some of the studies that are coming out
on, like, the narcissism and stuff like that?
Yeah,
like,
they're saying that people that take a lot of selfies have like deep psychological like issues.
And like, I don't want to like trash selfies that much, because I think like the first photograph ever, like when the first camera was made, the guy took a picture of himself, like to see if it worked. Like,
was it really?
Yeah. Like,
no way.
Yeah. Like, to try it out, you know, is this going to work or not? He didn't know if it was going to work or not.
The first,
you know,
picture ever was a selfie.
Yeah. He had his lips like all stuck. He had to stick his lips out like.
No, it's like profound for like human nature.
Like. But I forget where I was going with that. Oh, okay. Like big asses are a thing right now, right? Before I came here, I was beaten off, and I was watching this porn star, and I was going to her page, and
did I say that out loud?
Huh?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh yeah, but she was a hot chick, and before she was like a petite Latina chick, and she was hot, right? But now she's trying to get on this Kardashian wave, and she's like does these porns where she tries to look like Kim Kardashian. She got butt implants and lip implants and all this shit, and like,
gross.
At this point, like, you're not hot anymore. Like, you're fucking
barely human.
Like, I like to watch chicks that are like more natural, like just beautiful, right? And when she first started, she was like natural boobs, like, okay, get a little boob implant, okay, that's cool. But then they get the lips and the everything else. It's like, now I don't know if you even really are a chick anymore, you know? Like,
who is this?
Her name's Layla Starr.
Okay, Layla Starr, you better straighten up.
You
better shape up.
But she has like it's like obvious butt implants and lips and this and that. Like, I think women are confused on what beautiful is. Like, yeah, hey, ladies, sure. Just...
And society is like this negative feedback loop where they are almost in competition with each other, and they get more and more ridiculous as it goes. And it's like, whoa, just get back to natural nature.
Yeah.
Like, that's beauty.
Yeah.
Yeah. I totally agree.
Like, a girl you can take camping that doesn't have to wear a bunch of makeup, you know, bigger boobies... Bigger ass, whatever, you know, don't get me wrong. A nice ass, like, defined ass is nice. A nice set of hooters is nice. But, you know, there's beauty to be found in every woman, I believe. Like, there was a girl I used to talk.
You don't have to change yourself. And I'm actually, I feel kind of sad for some of them, because I go, whatever man, like, told you that you have to do this in order to get, like, more approval from them, fuck them, dude.
Dude, look at Pamela Anderson now. She's fucking scary, bro. Dude, in the 90s, I was draining myself to her.
Scary's a good way
to
put it.
And now it's just like, oh my God, you're fucking scary, bro. You look like the fucking Crypt Keeper with tits. And you're trying to hold it together with some mascara and shit, you know? Like, what the fuck is going on?
Welcome to the show. Remember, babe, what? You want to do me now? I don't have hepatitis, I swear.
It's just, ladies, you don't got to do that to yourselves. Be natural. Enjoy yourself. Sorry about the vibage.
It's all good, man.
Phones, I put on my, oh, there we go.
It's Pamela.
But, Pamela Henderson. But, I don't know. I think if I ever had a daughter, I would just tell her, look, you be you, you know?
Well, I think that's a lot of it is, I don't know. I mean, I definitely don't want to be too judgmental, because I don't know what causes a lot of that. But at some point I wonder if it would help if, like, the fathers would tell some of these girls, like, you're special.
Fathers, be good to your daughters. You like that song?
How dare you get all jesty when I'm getting sappy?
Daughters will love like they do.
That was like
John Mayer, dude.
Yeah,
that's a good dude. Honestly, that's a good fucking message, dude. But if fathers were good to their daughters, we wouldn't have strippers and porn stars to beat off to anyway. With fake rubber lips and asses.
Negative feedback loop. Society. Yeah. Well, I think the other thing I wanted to talk about was this election cycle. What the fuck is going on, man?
Yeah.
Is this even serious now? Is
dude,
it real?
Okay. The thing about that
am I being punked? Where are the cameras?
Yeah. And you know what's funny is everybody says it, whether they consider some, like you talked about, conservative or liberal, like... Even the liberal people, did I just come out of unplugged here?
No.
Are like, I don't like my choices to vote for. And then the conservatives, people I talk to are like, yeah, I don't know about this. Like, and then our other option
is saying the same shit.
Yeah, like, but the Libertarian Party, that guy's a nutbag too.
Yeah, okay.
And so, I feel like he's put in to make us look like fucking douchebag, weed smoker idiots, right?
Yeah, exactly. So that's exactly what I feel too. People think that Donald Trump is downright dangerous because he's pissed off, like, every group other than white males, right?
Yeah, I mean, how is he... he's a candidate because he has the money, he can support himself.
Well, and he's...
But his thing is...
says, well, economically, if we're doing that, people are thinking that he'll be able to pull them out of some crazy financial problem. Has he yet talked about abolishing the Federal Reserve, the real source of our financial woes? No. So... If he
talks about making a fence.
And by the way, nowadays, if you don't know about the Federal Reserve, you are absolutely retarded. I'm sorry that that's a politically incorrect term to use, but whatever. You are absolutely, you have your head in the sand. And he doesn't even bring it up. Like, it insults
my intelligence. None of them do. Who do you think supports him?
Well, if he doesn't bring it up, isn't that weird? Isn't that weird, people? Like, I would hate to assume that they support him, but if he doesn't bring it up and they're the biggest financial thing going on in America, the biggest financial drain.
But if you're a real estate mogul and all you're waiting for is the Federal Reserve to change the percentages on it, you know,
interest rates or whatever. Yeah, true. And then you got Hillary Clinton, who is a absolutely verifiable criminal who is probably going to get indicted by the FBI. What happens then?
Have you seen the list? Like, maybe I'm not just on Hillary, but the Clintons themselves. Like, the list of people who died that were connected to them in strange ways. Like, there was a couple of people that were found on the train tracks. Oh, they fell asleep on train tracks. How many fucking people in the world fall asleep? But it turns out they had crushed skulls, like, previous to death, and this and that. And then this lady that had an affair with Bill Clinton, 7.5 months pregnant, just mysteriously fucking dies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're fucking hardcore, dude.
They are the gangster mafia. They're part of that gangster mafia, for sure.
And aren't liberals supposed to be peaceful and loving?
Yeah. I mean,
is that what the party fucking stands for? The weaker class?
Yeah. That's the only thing is, so what makes them liberals is they have a genuine desire to help other people. And that's nice. That's very nice. The only thing is it's misdirected into the liberal platform, which is welfare state, and it's theft. Like, helping and theft shouldn't be in the same political system, right? Like, you can't help one group by stealing from another group. That doesn't make it moral. If you want true prosperity, these people need to learn how to work on their own, how to assume individual responsibility. Mm-hmm. Now, even though we're so far behind, it doesn't mean
self-worth. It's self-worth. If they just give, if you're on welfare and you're not making it, dig deep.
Yep.
You know,
I think that's part of a successful human spirit. To be a successful human spirit is to actually realize the fact that you are providing for yourself and your loved ones if need be.
Yeah, it helps with self-esteem, everything, you know.
But I think that there's actually, like, something psychological, like, almost something like, if you were a spiritual person and you thought that the spirit has to attain certain goals, I think that that's one of the main ones, is individualism, individual responsibility, assuming responsibility for yourself, mm-hmm, is a main one. And it's like, you look at America and the state that America is in, it's like, maybe only half of the people even have a chance at that.
Yeah. Like, I'm pretty big on accountability, you know, with at work and stuff. Like, if you fuck up, just own it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If something doesn't go right, own it. Be accountable. Hold yourself accountable. Whatever. Or, you know, or if you got problems, fix. Like, I'm, like, big on self-improvement. I'm always trying to fix myself, you know?
Yep.
So much so that, like,
never staying stagnant.
Yeah. Like, you know, I've been stressed out at work lately like crazy, dude. Like, embarrassingly stressed out. Like, to where I'm just like, what the fuck, you know? You know, I never take my girlfriend out anywhere. Like, we just stay local. I mean, we do things. We go out, have sushi, Mexican food, whatever. But I'm so fucking ridiculously stressed out lately. Like, I started smoking.
No way.
Yeah, like, and dude, I'm 30 fucking 5 years old. You know, usually you don't start smoking.
So the stress is adding up.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I'm losing hair. It's getting gray.
Holy moly.
But I said, this weekend, like, I had, like, a bad go at work last week. Like, because, you know, I'm not afraid to, like, try anything. Like, you give me a job, we'll fucking get it done, you know. That's just how I am at work. Like,
there is no
I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. And you know, I'm the supervisor, and you know what? Yeah, I'll take the heat if it fucks up. If we
fuck up. That's a good leader. Good leaders do that.
I don't think my guys think that way though. Like, they don't believe like how you believe. Like, they're like, "What the fuck are we doing? This is..."
Yeah, but
and they don't understand like the struggle makes you better.
Yeah.
Okay, if you fucking try something and you fail, hey, yeah, that's something you learned. You fucking learn.
That's why it's good to have a leader like you, because you lead by example.
And my goal is to give everybody a chance to fucking try something they've never done before. And you know what? If we fail, guys, you know, the most successful people in the world have failed more than they've ever, sure, you know, than losers ever try.
Even though it's uncomfortable, you have to get somehow comfortable with the thought that you're going to feel uncomfortable.
But like, where I was going with that, like, was like, it's like consuming my life too much. Like, I don't feel like I'm really living a free life anymore.
Yeah,
like,
you gotta,
I'm not living
balance.
Life anymore. Like, I used to play my guitar. I used to go to the gym. I used to go camping and fishing and go to concerts. And like, now, like, my job has consumed my life. And I'm like, what am I doing, dude?
Does it have to? I mean, it doesn't require that out of you. That's what you're putting into it.
It's just, we got a bunch of projects that I got to get done by a certain deadline and use this money up. But use the money that's been approved, whatever.
Okay, dude.
But like, honestly, this is like, I'm learning about myself.
For
and
sure.
There's always self improvement. Like, if you're at home and you don't have a job and things aren't going your way, don't fucking give up.
Yeah.
Do not give up. Like, yeah, welfare is there, but it's not helping you.
Yeah.
So like, I went online and I'm trying to find a therapist and a life coach, you know, to like just get me back on track. And like,
yeah,
I'm always reading leadership books, inspirational books on self-improvement, because you know what, like, I'm not gonna fucking go down this way, you know.
Yeah.
Because I'm not gonna fucking be a smoker, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I might enjoy like a cigar here and there and this and that,
but don't want it to hook you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and most smokers are smokers at the age of 18. Like, yeah, that's what they try to, you know.
35 is an interesting age to
like, the way it went down was, like, you know, I've tried cigarettes here and there, or, like, I would go out drinking with some friends and have a cigarette here and there. You're talking about, like, a cigarette a year or whatever. And I remember I had a bad day. Like, the day started out fucked. Like, everything was wrong and fucked up. And one of the guys was smoking. I said, "Hey, let me get one of those, dude."
I'm fucking
And I just grabbed one. I walked around, checked out some of our equipment and this and that. And, like, I was like, cool. I got back on base and it worked.
Oh,
and other than that, like, or sometimes I would buy tobacco. Or I'd chew tobacco just to get me, like, to mellow out, you know. Because I think as a leader, like, in my job, like, I never let the guys know that I'm fucking flipping, like, pissed or, you know, or losing it or whatever. Like, always come off like, cool, okay,
for sure.
The next thing is this.
For sure. And also, I would also say that the ultimate goal should be to not get pissed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because emotions really, if you think about it, they have nothing to do with what's going on. You being pissed off has nothing to do with what's going on. It's just stuff is going on that needs to be addressed, and might be a lot of stuff, but being pissed off doesn't change a thing.
Yeah.
And
it's a state of mind.
So I think if that could help, because that's kind of where I'm at too, is I'm trying to take now like emotions out of a lot of stuff. And a lot of the guys, the dudes that I read, that I respect, somewhere in their writings, they usually kind of refer to that principle, like, as almost like a growing point for them when they were able to take like emotion out. And that's not to say don't be emotional. When I see Syrian refugees that are literally like legit, like, displaced, you know, like, my heart breaks. Like, mm-hmm. I get very emotional over that. Like, it's not to say that that doesn't happen, but that I don't let my emotions are not a wild animal that control me. You know what I mean? Like, and I can't say that right now, but I'm working on that. I'm working on not letting them control me. You know, And it's tough. One of the things that you do is you understand that your brain and its function and what you do when you're moving your arm and performing functions is a whole different brain system than emotions. And so when you feel an emotion, you don't have to tie everything into one thing. You can go, oh, that emotion is in one part of the brain. This is on a whole other part of the brain. Let me just ignore that emotion side and do what I got to do. You know, it's kind of, at least for me, it feels like it's that like a skill that I'm trying to develop. Mm-hmm. And it's tough because I agree with you in the fact that, like, right now in my life, more than ever, it's like stress is at an all-time high.
Mm-hmm. And
but it's like, I also like feel like it's good. Like, sometimes stress is what pushes us to that next level. And it's ultimately, usually when I have periods of stress, I look back at it and I go, yeah, I learned a lot during that period. Like, it was always a good thing, ultimately. When I was going through it, it was never good. It was like a times of tribulation or whatever. And then once I'm past it, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Cool. Because, I mean, if you're trying to succeed at anything, it's not going to come easy.
No.
And I think that's something that we don't promote in America. It's like,
shit's tough.
You should be able to just make a Big Mac and make a fucking living and support your family on that. You know, and just be like, flip that burger, put that sauce on.
Yep.
If put it in the box.
If you honestly think that you should be making $15 for flipping burgers, I'm going to piss people off, but you are out of your mind. If I had a business and I put value on labor, you're absolutely crazy to think that I would value flipping burgers at $15 an hour.
All right, let me throw a fucking wrench in your game here. What if you made the best fucking burgers in the world and people traveled across the fucking globe for your burgers? Is it worth it then?
Okay, here's the question. Are they my burgers? Like, I get to sell them at whatever price I want?
Yeah, yeah, you're not McDonald's. You're a...
Then the market is going to find out what I get paid.
Do you know, like, you go to Vegas and spend over, like, $200 on a burger?
I have.
You have done that?
Yes.
Was it good? You spent $200
okay.
on a burger?
It was okay. Yeah, it was like a Kobe thing, I think.
Oh my god.
I think it was like just a drunk thing.
You were drunk and you were like, I want the best burger.
I heard Kobe beef is the best.
No, but I mean, yeah, I mean, but I know what you're talking about. Like, if you're a entry level position, knocked up, or you knocked some chick up, like, the argument they make is, how can you raise a family on these wages? But they don't say, you shouldn't have a family if you can't fucking feed these motherfuckers, right?
And even if you do, here's the thing. Is it other people's fault that you can't raise your family? Of your skill set? No.
They teach you in high school how to fucking pull out, at least, right?
Well, here's the thing, though. Even if, there's some horrible situations and just some shitty situations, but is it my fault that that happened to her? Why do I have to pay the balance? You know, like, and here's how I end up paying the balance is because ultimately this turns into inflation.
Absolutely.
Inflation is a hidden tax, right?
Yes. That's what I was saying. Oh, cool, you're making $15 an hour, but you're still making the fucking minimum. Everything else is going to go up. Like, milk's going to go up, gas is going to go up, everything else is going to go up.
And then we all...
You're still the fucking making minimum wage. You're going to go to Vegas and try to talk to the chick by the pool. How about, hey, guess who got a fucking raise? Making minimum wage now. I make the best Big Macs.
$15 an hour, bitches.
Hey. Yeah.
Yeah, it's insanity, and it's going to continue until people get educated. That's why when we started this project of this podcast, it was pretty much us saying the voting process will not change anything. The only thing that will change anything is a grassroots education effort by people. And so that's what we're doing here on the Beacon Podcast. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get into jury, or not just jury, we're going to get into nullification.
Fuck yeah.
been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. 'Cause I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother and I say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I couldn't last for long, but now I think I'm able to.
It's been a long
people. It's a long time coming, but we know change is gonna come.
Dude, I gotta get this on vinyl.
Oh, I didn't turn the volume up on it. Sorry, it was a little quiet there, peeps. Sorry. There's a lot of stuff going on right now in the stew studio.
Like your hair?
Yeah.
Matt's growing his hair out anymore. He isn't like a buff M&M.
I know.
He's like are you starting a boy band, dude? Like, you're all buff and shit and got the hair growing out?
I just stopped cutting it.
Yeah. Like, wow, yeah. You got some Guy Fieri bangs going. Yeah. Remember when you used to bleach your hair?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wait, before Guy Fieri made it cool?
Frosted tips.
Tips.
That was just junior the tips. High.
Just the tips.
Nah, that was probably even after that. Even in high school.
And puka shell necklaces? Did you do that?
I had a necklace. I don't think it was puka shell.
Oh, yeah. We used to do puka shells, yeah.
I used to do the little snack necklace, though. Just kidding. Do you remember those things?
Yeah.
I actually did those probably in like third grade, though. All right, Nick. Nullification. Let's define nullification. We're going to go first into the online dictionary. And that is... Sorry. The online dictionary is one source for getting definitions, but so I'll read this one first. Nullify, to cause something to lose its value or to have no effect. Okay.
Zero effect.
And then we're going to go into, I recommend everybody get at least 1828 Webster's Dictionary or earlier.
That's badass.
The meanings of words have changed over the years. There's several words that the meanings are like getting degraded. Mm-hmm. Or you just won't find certain things in certain encyclopedias. You know, like George Orwell in... what was that famous movie that he ended up doing? Not Animal Farm, but the other one.
2001 A Space Odyssey?
No, George Orwell.
Orwell. I'm sorry. I'm thinking...
God, God, I'm drawing such a mind blank. But anyways, he said that in a future society, you'll have newspeak, where whole words and whole parts of the language is just going to get eliminated.
That absolutely is true.
For sure. And you know what? Like, when, especially now that we use like opposite meanings in slang, we use like bad. Oh, that's bad. That means it's good. Oh, that's sick. I guess that actually means it's good. Like everything's like becoming opposite. So how are the dictionaries in the future gonna look? You know, like, will bad actually like be defined as good? I don't know, but there's kind of like a weird trend going on there, and sarcasm kind of like led it.
Well, but, you know what? I kind of think that goes to like how we were talking about earlier about like what we think is attractive. Or, you know, if you look at humans, the way our, if you just want to go off of what is fashionable at a certain time, whatever, like in the 90s, it was baggy pants. And then what was the next new thing? Skinny pants.
Skinny pants.
Look at our rock stars. You go to flamboyant, like wild hair, crazy, like, look at me, I drive a Lamborghini, blah, blah,
to grunge.
To Northern Nirvana, like, I don't really give a fuck about this if you like us or not. You know, yeah. Who's going to play our music?
Exactly.
You know, and I see that, like, and now hairstyles or whatever, it's like all dudes are like doing the fucking crew cut with the pomade and like bitching shit, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and then they're also doing like the super styled, like jagged hair, like crazy styled, like you don't wake up out of bed looking like that.
Yeah.
That's and super styled.
So as it pertains to like word verbiage, like I remember like we used to always say dude all the time, but I came from the, you know, 80s, early 90s, and we'd say, bad, that's badass.
Yeah.
Like, what is badass?
Yeah, it's horrible.
But they're both, like, ass is like bad.
Negative terms.
Yeah, but we meant it as, like, that was so rad. Yeah. But rad isn't in the dictionary, you know?
Language is a really, really weird subject, and I've just scratched the surface, but I can tell that there's a whole lot to that study, is just words.
And I think it's a trend thing, honestly, like the way verbiage goes. We all use different words, or you want to be saying the coolest thing, like dope. Yeah. That was dope, dude.
You know what though? Dope. I've gotten badass, totally rad. Away from that now.
But if it was the 30s, like, yeah, that kid's a bee's knees, I tell you. Right? I mean,
yeah.
You're not going to say that now. I think it goes with your fashion. I think it's like what's fashionable.
Yeah. For sure. They're fashionable, for sure.
It's and I'm not plus. Trying to dog what you're talking about. I'm just trying to understand us as people, especially as fashion goes. And then we're all kind of narcissists and trying to be fucking famous phase right now.
But like, how is, like fashionable? Like, is that, like, kind of the blind leading the blind also? Like, did some person just decide one day that something looked good, and then
yeah.
everybody was like, yeah, okay, we'll do that too. And then at some point it becomes popular enough, and it usually spreads in the rich communities enough, and people want to emulate wealthy people, right?
To become wealthy at one point.
Well, they want to look at least wealthier than they are. So they'll emulate them so that they can give off that appearance, right? I see a lot of that happen. I see a lot of people like just like, oh, I'm wearing Dolce & Gabbana, or I'm, you know, and they don't know anything probably about that company other than that's what rich people wear and it's been deemed stylish.
As it pertains to the subject, I would say I call it the Limp Bizkit syndrome.
Okay.
Because I remember spring break in high school, when Limp Bizkit came out with You Gotta Have Faith or whatever, right? Dude, that next weekend, everybody in school, all the cool kids, had red fucking New York hats. Like, how much did that fucking blow up, right?
Yeah, okay.
And I'm not saying that was a bad song or a bad cover of a song, or they were even that bad of a band. But to see, like, how we just grasp onto something, like, this is what's cool now.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not cool with this, you know, you're not cool.
Yeah.
And we've made fun of Limp Bizkit on the show before, but
and it was
they're songs that are good. Like, they weren't bad musicians, or, like, they were artists, you know what I mean? They did their thing. And what's funny is how we can Now we're making fun of it, and it's fat. It's fast. Now it's fashionable to make fun of Limp Bizkit. At one point, maybe we were buying their albums.
Yeah,
like I bought the Limp Bizkit CD. You know, because they had like Method Man on there. Like, you know, but that was before you could listen to music before. Like, oh, let's see what this is about. Like,
yeah,
let's try it out.
Yeah, there was a phone number that you could call, like 1-800-MUSIC or something, and you could type in a song or an artist. And
oh, really?
Get like a 30-second clip-it of it.
That's awesome. I remember we had like Sam Goody's where you could listen to the whole CD if you wanted to. You know, you could sit there. That's how we used to listen to music for a while. Like,
yeah,
just sit there.
It was 1-800.
But we never bought nothing.
It was something because 1-800 yeah. Music wouldn't work. But you get what I'm saying. There was a number. It was yeah. Like Music Now or something like that. I don't know.
But that might. I'm sorry. That was all talking about the changing of verbiage. Yeah. Yeah, I think it kind of goes with trends, is why we were doing this. So sorry about I didn't want to throw you off the dictionary.
Oh no,
game
no.
Thing. But
it's
okay,
but it's kind of.
I'm just trying to understand human behavior is what that is.
And dude, that's the biggest mind.
Like, why do we do that?
Screw on earth is human behavior. That's really the crux of kind of what I want this show to get into, because that's everything. Is that why do people act like they're sheep that are being herded rather than think on their own? Like, why do sheep even behave the way they behave? If as a herd they just decided to act individually, they wouldn't be able to be corralled and led into the shearing pins and slaughtered, you know. Mm-hmm. that wouldn't even happen. They'd all go in their own different direction, and the dog would be fucked because it's not going to mess with the cow, and the horses wouldn't be able to do anything. Like, nobody, the controller wouldn't be able to do anything. I just don't, psychologically, I don't understand why people act in that herd mentality. I understand they do, and it's part of human nature, and it's probably a defense mechanism. You want to stay safe by being part of the pack. You think there's safety yeah. by being part of the pack.
We want to be liked. We want to have a self-esteem. And if you're going against, you know, the norm, we don't want to be the outcast in a certain way, I think, sometimes.
But if the society is sick, then I'm okay going the opposite way.
Yeah.
Like, I'm fine with that.
Which could happen in a jury. Everyone could say, well, he broke the law. He broke the law, man. I mean, we should do that.
Yeah. You got to have that kind of, like, guts to know right and wrong, you know, for yourself. Like, a lot of these people don't even think about that. Like, what's right and wrong? They go, the law's right.
Oh, you're really? Putting somebody in, like, if you have a jury duty, that's a huge responsibility. You could be putting somebody in fucking jail.
Yeah. And think about this. You belong to a society where you have the ability to determine somebody's fate. That's an interesting society.
So if you have jury duty, are you going to be fashionable and wear the Limp Bizkit hat?
I like the metaphor.
Or are you going to...
Full circle.
Are you going to internalize, like, what if, that could be me in that chair. So I had a little plant in my pocket. I didn't hurt anybody.
I jaywalked.
I fucking jaywalked.
You know, everybody breaks a law every day. Let me get into this 1828 definition of nullify.
Right on.
So what I was kind of pleased to know on this one is that it really, the definition hasn't changed in, you know, almost 200 years. It is to make void or render invalid, to deprive of legal force or efficacy. So pretty much the same as it is nowadays, but that's kind of interesting. I'm going to actually try to bring this thing out more and more when we do the
shows. I like that, man.
Because you get to see in 200 years if a word has changed, and words have changed.
And they do take on meanings, like what's considered offensive, certain words, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
well, retarded. Retarded is a legit word.
Yeah, it defines something.
Yes,
it defines. You know, your brain is like retarding. Like, yep. Like, yep. You have a
engine retarders.
Exactly.
You know, there is a.
Well, it's slowing the repetition amount. Maybe your brain is.
Let's eliminate that word out of the language altogether, and we won't offend anybody. That's retard.
And you know what? I mean, you were bringing up a liberal thinking, and you know, that's a very liberal thing. Is they're constantly changing speak. They're constantly changing things. Like,
it's still control, but it's not through societal means.
He's an African American. Okay, he's a handicapped, okay, or whatever it is. It's like,
I love the South Park thing.
Constantly changing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so there's two different types of nullification that we're going to talk about. Okay? The first one is state nullification. There's two types. There's state nullification and there's jury nullification. First one is state nullification. And this one really kind of got its start during the, at least in our country, at the very beginning of the country. You had your Alien and Sedition Acts. These acts were signed into law by John Adams. John Adams was a Federalist, and what we could think of back then, there was the Federalists and there's the Anti-Federalists, or kind of the Republicans. The Federalists believed in the centralized government. They believed in having a United States, a United States government. And they wanted, a lot of them wanted like a central bank. They thought that there was more power in centralized control
instead of like individual state
power. Exactly.
Every state is the same. It's like
the
law of the land from ocean to ocean. Okay.
The Anti-Federalists were huge on that the states should have the power, and that if there is any kind of a government tying all those states together, it's very loose, and that those states can get out of it at any time if they want to. Okay? That it's a contract. And so
I like giving the power to the states just to say, like, What's good for the goose isn't always good for the gander. You know, like, if you live in fucking Maine, it's like, our fucking business is chowder, kid.
Well,
but if you live in New Mexico, it's like, yeah, but our main business is in fucking chowder. We can't tax clams because we don't have any fucking clams.
Don't
we live in New Mexico.
Tax the clams, we want
that. We have a fucking ocean.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
How would you sound if you were from New Mexico? Not like
that. New Mexico? I don't know. They don't even have a... I bet they're similar to us in California. Southwest.
Yeah, cool.
Twang. So John Adams signed into law this Alien Sedition Acts, and also what we had going on at the same time is like the Federalists that wanted a central bank. A lot of them actually had ties still with Britain, who we just got independence from.
Yeah,
a lot of them still had ties with Britain and with the British banking community.
The thieves, and the tax thieves.
So a lot of the whole government, the president at that time, the executive branch, the Congress, and the Supreme Court was all ruled by Federalists. And they had just gone to war with us and France, basically. And so they viewed, they thought that in our culture, there was still, like, the French were still fomenting uprisings to get rid of those Federalists that were in power. So they signed these Alien and Sedition Acts into law that basically said, if you talk bad about the president, Congress, or the courts, you're actually guilty of a crime. Okay? Thomas Jefferson...
What the fuck?
Was the vice president. So this is back. So if this is kind of interesting fact of the Constitution also, is originally the way the president was voted for is whoever was had the most votes became president, and whoever had the second most votes became the vice president. The president didn't used to choose his vice president. Yeah. And that's why, and the reason they changed it is because they actually legit, they thought that the vice president, because it's always going to be opposite parties mm-hmm. that end up being vice or president, because it's always the number one and the number two.
They need like a mediator.
Well, the reason they changed it is because they thought that eventually you'll have a case where the vice president will conspire to murder the president, and then the vice president will become president. And so they changed it, and they actually amended the Constitution, and now the vice president selection process is different. But that's kind of interesting. So that's why you have Thomas Jefferson, who was an anti-federalist, as vice president. And he and the funny thing about the Alien and Sedition Acts is that it didn't, in the law, you could critique the vice president, you couldn't critique the president, Congress, or the Supreme Court. where there were Federalists in, but you could talk shit about the vice president. And so he's like, hey, something's not right here, you know? And so at that time, the Federalists dominated the executive branch, Congress, and the courts. Criticism of the vice president was exempted in the Alien and Sedition Acts. The media at that time that was critiquing or criticizing Adams was fined and imprisoned for a lot of the stuff that they did. Jefferson knew that the Constitution had been violated at this point. The executive branch did not have the power. The federal government did not have the power to say, to eliminate your right of free speech. They violated the Constitution. Jefferson knew it. So he saw that the way to fight this, though, was not to take the case to the Supreme Court. Because what Jefferson thought was that the Supreme Court is still part of the federal government cabal.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it's executive, legislative, and judicial branch, they're all part of the federal government. And they have their own interest in mind as part of that federal government. So he said what needs to be done is that the states who entered into the contract with the federal government, that they're the ones who had the power to judge if something was constitutional or not. And he said, since states entered into the contract with the federal government, they have the power to judge when the federal government breaks the contract. Jefferson knew that all three branches of the federal government are fallible, and he saw the Alien and Sedition Acts as breaking the terms of the Constitution. So, a lot of his quotes were, well, if it's unconstitutional, then all a state has to do is not obey or not honor those laws. And that became known as what is state nullification. And so right now, like healthcare, if the states were doing their appropriate job, they would say, that's nice that you, the federal government, passed this law, but it's not constitutionally binding. We're actually in charge of that jurisdiction, and we don't have to enforce anything. So we're not going to. And I think that as it starts to get, prices start to rise and things start to get more expensive, you're going to start to see more states say, we're participating. We're not going to participate in this.
I mean, not only that, but like, doctors have to run their practice, and they can't follow whatever the fucking laws, you know, like do their shit for free, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, I like states having, hey, what works for us, works for us.
For sure. And it's in the terms of the Constitution, it's not in the federal government's power to say,
you have to sign up for this insurance.
It's not their power. It's very
limited. Does it say that anywhere in the Constitution at all?
Nope.
You're the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right?
Yeah. Well, wait, I mean,
what did I just say?
Their life, powers,
liberty,
are
limited. And the pursuit of, yeah.
Big time. So here's some examples kind of where it came into some interesting play. You had the Fugitive Slave Act of 1850. So back when you had slaves in certain areas, you had certain states that actually outlawed it. They actually deemed it as kidnapping or imprisonment, you know?
They're fucking smart.
Yeah. Well, for sure. A human, all humans are equal. That's without question.
If it's a free country and you're a human being, you deserve all the same rights.
Well, those states recognize, certain states recognize that. The Fugitive Slave Act, it actually said that if you caught an escaped slave, you could capture it. You could go through whatever lands it took to bring it back to its owner, and that you could get the reward from the owner, and that you'd be protected from the law. Well, a lot of states said, we don't recognize slavery as being legitimate. So if you capture this escaped slave, you are kidnapping a free person. And
yeah.
And so they, in fact, nullify it by doing that. They nullified this Fugitive Slave Act of 1850. They were nullifying it. You see how that works?
That's bitching, dude.
Yeah. So the states had the ability to do that, or they did do it. And this is when the states started doing their own thing. And if you notice the date, 1850, this is right before the Civil War. And that's called the War Between the States. And this is when the states said, hey, the federal government's breaking their contract. We're out. And the federal government said, oh, no, you're not. War. This is really why the Civil War happened, is they felt like they were seceding from the Union of States, because that's really all the government was at that time, was a Union of States. Federal government, after that, when the North won, it set a precedent. States, you thought you were autonomous. You thought you had your own individual power. We're taking you over.
I can only imagine, like, being a, like, you know, I can't imagine being a slave, but like just seeing like a slave, like all I gotta do is cross this fucking line into this state, and shit's badass because they nullify that shit. Like they see us as human beings,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
we deserve all the freedoms as anybody else.
We're free, and then
you know I'll do the fucking work. Just pay me.
Yep. And there was a lot of, even in the South. I mean, the South gets a bad rap. Even in the South. A lot of the we talked about that on another show. It wasn't all like, yeah, that's my slave, put him in line. It was very like the kids would play together. They would actually give them, like, pay them. Like, it was pretty good terms. And really it started changing. Technology always changes society. And
yeah,
once we started having machines that could do a lot of the jobs that that human labor was doing, is probably more so the reason why slavery ended up ending.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I have a hard time agreeing with you on that, like, them being treated fairly.
I know, well, we see a lot of movies that just say, like, you know.
It's just, like, just seeing how people are even now, like, you know, cops shooting black guys and don't even get a fucking hand slap.
It's true, people are pretty.
You know what I mean? So,
you're right. People are.
So, if you go back 100 fucking years, I don't think they were. Hey, come on in and have some sweet tea and apple pie. You know, I don't
think so. Hush puppies.
You want some hush puppies? Yeah. And you know what hush puppies were? It was just like balls of bread that were fried to shut dogs up, or like to feed the dogs. Like,
oh, really?
Whatever the food the slaves didn't eat, they just fried it in.
Oh, that's kind
of. So, I mean, I think I'd have to disagree with you on it was like a cool understanding, you know.
Well, I'm not saying all, but I'm saying. Not all of the South was horrible racists, you know, slave whippers. That just is not true.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any way to combat that. Like, you know, if you that the idea that you own a human being is pretty fucking harsh, dude.
I agree, and
nobody owns human beings.
The way that they morally justified that to themselves, too, it's like we end up doing that. Usually all of us do that at different points in our life. Like, we morally justify certain behavior that we know isn't right, you know, but it's just part of human nature, I think, is if it's convenient to you. Like them, they're getting their work done.
They're making a profit.
You know, yeah. Like they can convince themselves of just about anything is right, you know. I agree with you in that principle. I do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, anyways, that's it. That's what I got for state nullification. When we come back from this break, we're going to get into the real trouble. You can get in trouble for even talking about this shit.
Trouble!
So that's the Beacon Podcast. We'll be right back, and we'll be talking about jury nullification.
Badass.
Justice are where the youths them need overall, where them deal with mankind. Hey yo, and that she not go cry for no guy in
no three-piece suit. Nor no pretty boy in a no Chris Nike boot. She no fall for no dapper, she no cry for no dupe. She shed those lonely tears for the little ghetto youth. A ballin' starry, starry, ex-news and cleaner. Food might be dirty, but his heart is much cleaner than those politicians fighting dunks and semenia. And get up every day, them want to run this arena. Extra, extra, read all about it. Get a youth in need and there is no doubt about it. If baby won't feed and can't do without it, Big 45 going to scout it. Oh no, the youth them balling out. I hear they get a youth them balling out. Hey, youth them calling out. I hear they get a youth them balling out. Well, justice are where the youths them need overall. The way them deal with mankind, all my girls start ball. Justice are where the youths them need overall. The way them deal with mankind. Listen, no I'm on this Jack and Jill went up the hill to sell some marijuana. Look up the bed, they broke Jack on and Jill came tumbling after. Think about people, she thought that she too deep in a deep pasture. And if one tried that again, it's going to bring disaster. Kings and kings are the lords of lords, ever last, they never last. Inspire, die a night to be a microphone blaster. Men are gonna bow down to no slave master. Let the youth them first and ask the questions them. Justice are where the youths them need overall. The way them deal with mankind and woman start bad. Justice are where the youths them need overall. The way them deal with mankind. Can't she not go cry for no guy in a no three-piece suit. Nah, no pretty boy in a no Chris Nike boot. She no bad for no dapper, she no cry for no dupe. She shed those lonely tears for the little ghetto youths. The bowling starry, starry, ex-news and cleaner. Food might be dirty, but his heart is much cleaner than those politicians fighting dunks and semenia. And get up every day, them off to run this arena. Now extra, extra, read all about it. Get the youths in need and there is no doubt about it. If baby won't feed and can't do without it, the Big 45 going to scout it. Oh no.
Don't you guys just love that liberty shit? Can't that be a reason why we all get together? Does it have to be all these divisive reasons? Or can it just be based off of freedom? A principle like that, then you don't have to get together and argue for LGBTQ rights. You don't have to get together to argue for black rights or women's rights.
We all have rights.
Or whatever rights. If we argue the concept of freedom, that's all that's needed. When you argue all the other minutiae, what happens is you divide each other and you end up going to war with each other. When we all agree, everybody just wants freedom. We just got to let each other be free. That's it.
Good point, dude, because I feel like when we do watch the news, it's like pointing this group against that group, and it's just trying to divide us more and more.
That's exactly. They're causing a war.
The bathroom thing. You know, like, well, you know, this guy thinks he's a chick, so he should piss here. You know, like,
if you're a private company, you can have, you can require people to go through a slide in order to go to your bathroom. If it's your business, you can do whatever you want. You don't even have to have a bathroom. It's a bad business move, but it's your place.
I hate when I go to a fucking, wherever I go to buy something, I'm like, hey man, can I use your restroom real quick? Yeah, we don't have one. I was like, well, where do you fucking piss, motherfucker?
Sure, but should the state require them to have one? No. You just won't go there anymore. If you don't like it that much, you just won't go there.
Yeah.
You'd be like, I'd like to go to places that have bathrooms. Like Target, you know?
If you don't like their, many shits at Target, yeah.
And if you don't like their policy on it, don't go there. That's how the free market works.
I seen a funny thing. There's a guy that's famous for surgically enhancing himself to look like a cat. You know, he has like whiskers and this, and he even walks like a cat all weird and shit.
Yeah.
And there's a picture of him and it says, I identify as a cat, so there should be a kitty litter box in every fucking bathroom.
Well, once you start placating just to like groups, then you cannot stop until you literally probably have a bathroom for every single group that identifies itself. What if they go, I don't identify as LGBTQ, male, female, anything. I identify as Zorg.
I want to dig my own hole and fucking shit in it.
And you get 10,000 people that identify as Zorg.
Supply a fucking chunk of dirt for me to fucking dig in.
And then it's not fair for them to placate to certain groups, but not placate to Zorg.
I really like the word placate.
Thank you.
You're great.
Thank you. I like words. I just love words.
I love words, dude. I fucking love like good words.
Like good, a good word, like an effective word.
What would placate? Is placate in the old dictionary, the 1800 dictionary?
Let me see. Let me check it out.
What's funny? Matt cracks me up because when we go on our breaks, like the last break, we both took a piss, and he went to one bathroom, I went to the other bathroom, and it was either LGBT or whatever orientated, and he was walking through the hall before I did. And he goes, "Pizza." But on this last, like, we were talking about smoking. Like, I smoked like half a cigarette right now. The good thing, kids, about smoking, like, if you're a youngster, like, the good thing about smoking is, if you really want to know how drunk you are,
the good thing about smoking, kids,
serious, is go smoke a cigarette and like you'll know how buzzed you are immediately.
Really?
Oh my god! Like,
kind of
like, should I drive? I don't know. I'm smoking a cigarette. No, I am not going to drive right now.
Oh wow!
Do you know what pisses me off about cigarette smokers? Like, because we always promote freedom and like, you know, smoke whatever. It's your fucking body.
Yeah,
it's not a good thing. Absolutely not. You're putting burning vegetable matter into your fucking body.
Now, who knows?
Not only that, but with whatever fucking now chemicals are in it.
Yeah, all the tobacco crops are like GMO and they're treated with horrible stuff. That's probably the worst part.
But do you know what bothers me?
If it was natural tobacco, it probably wouldn't be that bad for
you. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. The worst thing about smoking is, in my mind, like, what pisses me off about smokers the most is the littering.
Yeah.
People fucking just smoke their cigarette
for them,
and they like, just, I'll just flick this shit wherever the fuck I want. This fucking
weird,
piece of fucking foam, whatever the thing's made out of.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll just flick it wherever I want. Yeah, I just shoot that onto the fucking sidewalk. And
I agree.
That bothers me the most.
Yeah.
And so now, since I do enjoy
like
a cigarette now,
if I pull a wrapper off something, I just don't flick it off into the yard. You know, like, I agree.
Yeah.
It's weird. But it's okay if it's a cigarette butt. It's justified. It's going to biodegrade in 1,000.
Maybe, okay, you got hack-a-loogie. But you don't do it where people are fucking walking.
Now,
just
what
like
if
gum.
It's a cigarette company that makes, like, organic cigarettes and...
You wouldn't need the filter, I'd imagine.
It's, like, guaranteed to break down in, like, 4 weeks. Then is it okay?
It's still littering to me.
Okay. Interesting. Okay, so...
I have a big problem with littering. I don't know why.
Well, fuck. Why not? I mean,
it's just disrespectful to the rest of to your. If we were in a colony, for example, we just like throw your shit wherever the fuck you want
to others.
Yes,
for sure, and animals, wildlife. Yeah.
I used to date a girl, and I didn't date her. I was in love with her, but we'd hang out all the time. And she got mad at me when we were going to the beach, and I was chewing some gum. I just flicked it out the window, and she's like, "Oh my god, a bird could chew that and not digest it and die."
I don't know what happens with gum.
But that's what she said. Like
maybe.
And you're
you might have just killed a bird.
Like a bird's gonna chew that. But what I realize is when you fucking throw your gum wherever the fuck you want, motherfucker, you are gonna step in some gum.
That's what happens. That's karma.
You're damn right.
Okay, placate is to appease or pacify or to conciliate.
And that's in the old ass motherfucking dictionary.
1828 Webster's Dictionary. Everybody should get one. Go on Amazon. You get them right now for like 30, 40 bucks. Hardcover. Beautiful book.
And I imagine there's in small supply. You know, there's not a lot of them left.
Well, I mean, it's not from 1828. It is the 1828, but it's a reprint of the 1828 version.
But do you believe that it's printed properly?
I do.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I do. Because it's got some crazy shit in it.
Crazy shit.
It's got some pretty cool shit.
Well, we were talking about words that are offensive. You know, like, and I remember being a kid and always being curious, right? Mm-hmm. And my cousin had, like, the encyclopedias, like, everywhere, right? And we'd be like, well, what do these words mean? Like, we didn't know, like, fucking and sex and vaginas. And, like, we didn't have the internet, you know?
Yeah.
Like, well, we were like, well, what's a fag? Like, they call people fags. Like, what's a fag? A fag is a bundle of wood.
Yeah. Bundle of sticks.
Bundle of sticks. Like, well, what does that have to do with being gay?
A bunch of dicks.
And why is it offensive? Together. Like, why is that offensive? But what we found out is in earlier times when they found out someone was gay, they'd burn them at the stake and they'd scream, fags, 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 fags. And they'd, I mean, add more wood. To burn them.
Okay. Well, and but I in heard England, a different version.
In England, they call cigarettes. We were talking about cigarettes. Hey, you got a pack of fags? Let's smoke a fag, huh?
Yeah.
And they're talking about smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like rolled up like chunks of it's tobacco, but it's a rolled up.
Yeah.
Weird, huh?
Well, see, the way I heard about it was a lot of sticks, like being symbolic of dicks, when they're collected together. That's what it came from. You know, but who knows? There's no way to verify that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how I heard that it became that term.
I wish I knew how to... like, I've always wanted to learn sign language. I think before I die, I will learn sign language.
Why don't you just start slow? This week, go, I'm going to learn a couple things. And every week, just learn a couple things.
Well, I do know this. If you take your two index fingers and bump them together... That means gay.
It freezes time.
No, gay.
Oh, sorry.
You're right. I remember that show. But it's like
time out.
How are we gonna if we're gonna keep changing words and what's offensive and what you can say or not? Like if you're a what do they call those sign language interpreter?
Yeah.
Like for all these things, like well, I can't do that sign because that's offensive. it's your fingers bumping.
No, don't do it, Nick. Don't.
Oh, you're offending me. You. Oh my God, my two fingers are bumping into each other.
It's like I'm watching a gay porn right now.
I'm not wasting time. Yeah. And I don't think that's how gay guys do it. They don't just bump their dicks together. Maybe you guys do. Hey, I don't judge. Whatever. If that works for you,
that works for you. But let me tell you, that's lame.
Yeah. All right,
Nick.
So, are we back onto jury nullification?
Yes. And when I can stop laughing, I'll start again.
All right.
I'm just kidding.
And I, myself, have not had jury duty in my life yet. But I would like to do it. Like, I think it's a good thing.
It's part of, like what I was saying earlier, you belong to a society in which you are able to determine the somebody's future based off of your decision in their case.
Dude, what happens? Okay. Laws change, right?
Yeah.
Everyone's all stoked about marijuana becoming legal, this and that. How many people are incarcerated because of marijuana?
Right.
If the laws change, are they going to say, hey, Timbo, the guy who got caught with a fucking bag of weed,
yep.
You're out.
They'll have to.
Good luck getting a fucking job now.
They'll have to. So imagine the money that's against marijuana, the repeal of marijuana prohibition. There's major money against it, but it's
like the
happen.
Unions, like,
because now, I mean, the science is there, like that it helps ADD, it helps autistic, it helps cancer patients. Like it just helps too much. The thing that the state, if we know anything about how the state behaves, what they're going to do is they're going to legalize it, regulate and tax it. It will still be illegal to have on your own. Just like alcohol right now, it's still illegal to make your own moonshine. You can bring your own beer if you want, but to make your own moonshine, technically, you know, that makes you a real bad person. You know, so I guarantee you won't be able to grow your own weed still, even if it becomes legalized, because the state needs they need a piece of that pie.
Yeah, they have to regulate, yeah.
Okay, jury nullification. This is what happens when we don't do shows enough.
We're all over the place?
No, we just talk about lots of stuff, which is good. It's good. Makes for a good show.
Well, we hope you enjoy, and please hit us up on Facebook and Twitter if you are not enjoying this or you are enjoying this. We love hearing from you guys. So
definitely.
We want to make a show for all y'all to... Because, dude, Matt, you bring out shit that just... You're always right. I think, in the most part...
It's not that I just... get a wild hair up my ass and I just do a show on it. It usually comes from a lot of research.
Yeah.
And then contemplating what I want to do a show on. And sometimes it's based off of what I think society needs to hear at a certain time. And I think this is a great time for society to know about nullification, because we, as more and more laws get passed that are absolute bullshit, we have to know our rights. Like I was saying the other week, if you don't know your rights, you don't have them. Mm-hmm. You have the right in a jury to actually let somebody go. Let me talk about jury nullification.
Let's do this.
This is the process.
I really like this. I do. I love this topic.
This is beautiful. It really is beautiful.
Beautiful.
It's the process whereby a jury in a criminal case effectively nullifies a law by acquitting a defendant regardless of the weight of evidence against him or her. You, as the juror, can vote to acquit a defendant if you believe they are being accused of violating an unjust law.
Unjust.
You see how important that is and the power that you have. So in most of these trials, say it's a 12-person jury and you're juror number 9, they actually need to get a unanimous vote for a guilty conviction. So if one person holds out and says, I'm not convicting them because I believe this law is stupid and they don't need to go to jail for this. That is a right that has been exercised in the past. And the reason I choose my language carefully with that is because of this. Legally, you can get yourself in a bind if you advocate for jury nullification. So when in court, when the lawyers and the judge are going through what's called the voir dire process, that's the process in which they select the jury. When they're going through that process, one of the things that they will end up asking the potential jurors is this phrase. They'll say, do you have any beliefs that might prevent you from making a fair decision based strictly on the law? Now, technically, what that does is it legally gives the judge a little bit of power. Because if you say that you do have beliefs that would affect your ability to judge this because you think it's a stupid law, the lawyers will dismiss you from the case. So in order for you to try the case, you would have to lie and say, I don't have any beliefs that would affect my decision on this. And then when you go in and during jury deliberation, you end up saying, hey, we got this nullification thing, blah, blah, blah. The judge finds out about that. He can actually
dismiss you.
He can convict you of perjury.
Yeah, because you lied. Yeah.
But there is a legal principle called mental reservation that you can actually, that I guess people have brought up when they say that they lied during that process, but they didn't call it a lie. They call it a mental reservation, saying they withheld it because they thought it would be like for the best of the case.
Okay, so you're going to get picked to be on a jury. You don't know what the fuck's going on. You don't know all the details.
No, they can't tell you the details, but they can give you the rough subject. They can say, this is about a dog attacking. Do you have a dog? You know what I mean? They can kind of allude. They can allude is what the term is.
Yeah, but like, the way I've understood it is like they'll ask you, do you have any biases about whatever subject, this and that, or racism or this and that. And the way it goes nowadays is like the judge determines the law. Like it's their idea. Like, it's like set straight forth towards you,
yeah,
that the judge will require these certain mandates. Like, this is the law. This is what it is. Yeah. Okay, we'll let you know if it's illegal or not. Yeah. They don't let you know about
whether it's right or not.
Yeah,
it never even comes into question in this process,
or if it's constitutional or not.
Right. Yes. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So that being said, what this really means is So let me also say this, because in this jacked up world that we live in, you have to say this, okay?
If you're on a drink.
No. We as the Beacon Podcast have to say this. The Beacon Podcast are not lawyers, and we do not give legal advice. It is meant for entertainment and educational purposes only. So don't try this at home, kids. You understand, we have to say that, or we're going to go to court, and we're going to hope that somebody on that jury would have the balls to nullify whatever stupid law that we violated by talking about nullification. The reason it's weird is because it's not a law. Nullification is not a law. It's not codified anywhere in law. What happens?
What about us being a government for the people by the people?
Yeah.
Why have a fucking jury if you're not going to?
Well, it exists. It exists. I wrote it earlier in the best terms that I could think of. Judges and lawyers can't tell you about nullification, so they won't. It is not codified into law, but it exists as a function of the jury design. Okay? So the way
you have the right to be represented in a court of law by a court of your peers.
Yeah, and because they can acquit you of, if they think you're not guilty, well, they can also acquit you if they know you're guilty, but they think that the law is unjust. So what you're able to actually do here...
So why give the power to the people?
Because it's... Well, why? Like, what do you mean?
This is the thing. This is a government of for the people, by the people,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Why have a fucking jury if a judge is going to... turn everything around on you.
Right. Yeah. So ultimately,
I'm for the jury thing.
Yeah. This is where it's beautiful. This is where
it's fair.
The reason I'm talking about this is because people need to know that even though the state is running amok, we still have solutions. Like, we still have ways to defeat a big state. And this is one of the solutions. Jury nullification. You essentially, even though they're passing so many laws, and there's a new law like every day, right? You have the right to judge the laws, and you can judge the judge because of this jury process. We have that power in this system. The reason why it doesn't get exercised is because nobody knows we have this power. I would say this, just as a general term. Now, again, we don't offer legal advice, but as a philosophical solid, I would say this. If you're a defendant of a victimless crime, you should be acquitted by that jury, morally. That jury morally should acquit you.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's my goal with this whole show, is that. The crux is that if it's a victimless crime, that defendant should be acquitted. Now, I know you can get in trouble for that, but you know what? I'll get in trouble. I don't really care anymore.
Hey, Matt likes bone and hookers. I mean, what can you say?
Yeah. So it brings me to this quote. From a case in 1803. This is Marbury versus Madison. And in that case, they said, quote, unquote, as a legal finding, this was the conclusion that they had. All laws which are repugnant or contrary to the Constitution are null and void. All.
Dude, I'm so glad you brought that up, because... we need to push this across the nation.
Marbury versus Madison.
If it's
ingrain
not
that in your brain.
Thank you. Thank you so fucking much. With all the gun laws or all the dumb shit we fucking deal with.
They're
like,
all
if it's not in the Constitution,
to the
it's not a law. It's not a fucking law.
That is true. That is true. So also I kind of wanted to just sear it into people's head. And I think thought the best way to do that was to actually illustrate it this way. The jury is the fourth branch of government.
Nice. Your peers.
Yep. That's the fourth.
Okay, what,
and really kind of maybe the fifth, because the media is also one of the branches.
Let me be a dickhead here. Okay. But what bothers me is how fucking dumb we are as a fucking country. Like, we've been so brainwashed. Like, we've talked about it on the show so many times. Like, what are the chances of us getting a fucking fair jury nowadays?
Well, that's the thing, is it's of your peers, but and the defense, I guess, has a little bit more power in the jury selection voir dire process, which that voir dire, that actually is old French, and it means to speak the truth. I thought that was kind of cool.
Speak the truth.
I almost would say that that'd be a cool name if somebody wanted to start a podcast also.
Voir dire.
Yeah. Just because it's kind of cool.
Nice. Hey, if you're looking for a podcast,
listen to our episode about making podcasts and name yourselves Voir Dire.
Well, like right now I'm thinking about the OJ jury.
Yeah.
Did they nullify with the evidence that was there? Or were they fucking brainwashed? Fucks.
Well,
like now it's okay. Like, oh, he absolutely fucking killed those people. And nobody cares. You're not a racist. You're not Furman or nothing like that.
Are we absolutely sure?
He fucking did. Walked.
Okay.
And the evidence says.
Did he kill him?
Absolutely.
I don't know. Because they're not I'll tell you, Matt, the honest truth on my end.
They're not looking for the murderers anymore. Are they still looking for the murderers?
Right. That's
who killed. Who really killed him? Nobody fucking knows. They fucking knew he killed him. But because they played the race card, right? Did they use jury nullification?
What I'm saying is this, is I don't know because I was too busy during that time to even pay attention to it. So I don't know.
We were in high school.
Yeah, I was too busy.
We fucking knew he killed him.
But no. Here's the thing, is I'm not going to convict the guy. Now that I'm older, I understand that I'm not going to just jump on the bandwagon and accuse the guy of murder. If I don't know anything about the case, I'll tell you the truth. I don't know shit about that case. I really don't. So in my head, I cannot convict him guilty because
they never found the murderer. They never found the guy who really killed Nicole.
Okay. I don't know if they were even looking or not. I have no clue. I don't know. I just don't know. If I don't know, I have to leave it there in my head. I don't know.
And I think that's the, case against like jury nullification, like when it comes to murder. And I think that's what scares some people, like judges, whoever the fuck it is. They're gonna be like, well, they might think it's okay to murder people. Like,
yeah.
Like, right. Maybe that UPS driver should have been murdered because he was fucking this guy's wife.
Yeah. It's like the time the guy got actually let off because he beat to death a dude that like raped his daughter. You heard about that case?
Hey man, I think that's
like criminally. I consider that natural law.
If I had a daughter and you raped her, I'd fucking kill you.
Yeah.
And goddamn it, if I had a badass fucking rad jury people that were like, "Hey, natural law."
Here's where jury. No, to be fair, we should also talk a little bit about where jury nullification has gone wrong in the past.
Slavery and
yeah, the major one is slavery.
And the worst is like when they hang fucking people.
Yeah, they used to have lynch mobs, and the jury would not convict the person of being guilty of murder if they belonged to a lynch mob, and
that's disgusting. That is so fucking disgusting.
To find out that that's wrong, you know.
What I like about it is a case
where nullification has actually gone the opposite way, and it can be bad, you know.
Here's the thing, dude. I'm an atheist. You are not. But we have the same morals. You don't kill people. You don't rape people. If you fucking want to smoke a plant or carry a little bit of a plant around with you, big fucking deal. So we see eye to eye on that. You didn't steal it. You don't fucking hurt anybody.
Mm-hmm.
We're all right. Lynch mobs. I'm not cool with lynch mobs.
Well, so
why aren't the lynch mobs under fucking
everything in especially in libertarian philosophy boils down to property and property rights. All of it. All rights are property
non-aggression.
Rights.
Did you aggress?
So if we include one's body as their property, then we can actually make complete clear sense of all rights. I have the right to free speech. Why? Because I have the right to do with my body whatever I want to do as long as I don't hurt the person or property of another. So all rights boil down to property rights. If I want to do crack, it's my body. I didn't steal that crack. I bought it legally, or I made it, or whatever, right? I did it
well,
to
myself.
Well,
you're not going to buy it legally.
I own, well, and that's just a law thing. You know, that's just because it's illegal.
Yeah.
If I acquired it, whatever, I should be able to do with my body whatever I want with my body because that's my private property. I should be able to add an extension onto my house if I want to because that's my private property. I don't need a permit. I don't need inspections. I don't need any of that. That's mine.
Yeah, good luck with that, buddy.
I know, but this is where we have to go in society, and people have to start thinking this way in order for us to start trending that way.
Like, I absolutely agree with you on everything on that. But, like, if you're a new... Say you are buying a new house. And say you're buying a house from somebody who just did an addition and paved some concrete here and there. Mm-hmm. Would you not want to know, like, is it done properly?
Sure. Why do we always assume that the state has to get involved in this process? Why can't I, as a buyer, go, as a requirement for me to buy this house, I'm going to hire my favorite inspector?
Contractor. Yeah.
This is all done in the free private market.
Dig it.
All things, airport security, roads, hospitals, all things can be done just as effectively, if not, and I guarantee,
better.
Way better.
Fuck
if
yeah.
Done privately.
Absolutely.
Nick, let's collapse this, all of this knowledge down into a summary down show, and let's summarize this thing. What you got?
Well, I don't think we hit it as hard as we could have on the jury nullification, but like, I do think that if you get jury summons and you don't think that there was a victim in this case, if it feels morally wrong to you for this person to go to jail,
we have a duty.
We have a duty
to acquit them. As people who are trying to fight an oppressive system and too many laws, you have a duty to get in there and release that person.
What do you think about, okay, today's generation, the word duty means nothing.
Yeah.
There's dudes that will live their fucking parents till they're fucking 40 years old.
Yeah.
And they have no problem with that.
Just wastes of...
Fucking waste. Like, you have something to offer your community, your society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
be something. We could all be something.
Right.
All of us could be something.
Yeah.
If you have a fucking dream, if you have an idea of where you want to be, or a new business, whatever it is, we can all fucking do it. But I feel pushback on that. Like, the best thing we have right now is a show called Shark Tank, and they, you know, you might want to make a fucking thing that prevents your cell phone from going between your seats on your car, or beef jerky, or whatever the fuck it is, but I support a free society that's like, if you got an idea, run with it. And you know what? It's not going to be easy. And start your fucking new organization.
And the government should not be allowed to get in your way.
Absolutely.
That's the problem. Government's too big. State's too huge. Yep. Well, there's a lot of problems, but that's probably the biggest one facing us.
And you should not be afraid to fail.
Nope. For sure. We started off at this podcast. I feel like we've gotten better and better. And we have, like, when I listen to some of the older episodes, it's kind of embarrassing to listen to.
Yeah.
You know? But you know what?
That's especially part of me. I'm sorry, bro.
That's part of the learning process. This wasn't you. I was horrible, too. I still am. But... So, guys, we thank you so much for listening. If you are listening, please, you get this thing on iTunes. You can also find us on Facebook at The Beacon Podcast. Hit us up on Twitter at Beacon Podcast or email us at TheBeaconPodcast@gmail.com. We love you guys so much. We're going to leave you with a little parody about politicians and how trustworthy they are. This is Johnny Carson and the Johnny Carson Show from 1982, taking you back. We love you guys. Peace out.
Love you.
Good afternoon. There, as you know, have been charges alleged by the media and by my opponent that I have made false statements. You and the media have challenged me to prove that these allegations are unfounded by appearing at this televised press conference and answering your questions while hooked up to a lie detector machine. I'm going to ask Officer Dennehy of the Polygraph Division of the Los Angeles Police Department to come out here and please explain this procedure. Sergeant Dennehy.
This is your standard polygraph machine. You place this around the wrist, so how it works is, if the subject responds with a falsehood, you will hear this sound. Good luck.
Thank you, Sergeant. First of all, I'd like to say that I'm delighted to be here. I don't mind being here. I was forced to be here. I will take the first question. Yes.
Congressman, your opponent says that you've distorted certain facts about your background.
That is not true. I was born Philip Cabot Swarthmore III. Philip Cabot Swarthmore II. My name is Stinky Frostheimer.
Congressman.
Yes.
The charge has been made that you falsified your educational background.
I graduated from Harvard University. I went 2 years to Harvard. 1 year at Harvard. I took a summer session at Harvard. I was held back in the 8th grade. All right, the 4th grade.
Congressman, it appears to me you've taken every opportunity during this campaign to slander the character of your opponent.
Nonsense. I feel my opponent is a decent man. He's an okay man. He's a man. He's bisexual. Yes.
How do you stand on the environment?
On the environment, I am a strict environmentalist. I'm fairly strict. I'm going to pave Yellowstone.
Congressman.
Yes.
Isn't it true that you won't subsidize heating bills for our senior citizens this winter?
Absolutely not. No one is more concerned about our senior citizens than I am. There may be some small cutbacks, some big cutbacks. They're going to freeze their... Yes.
Congressman.
Yes.
It's been alleged that your major contributors are corporate fat cats.
That is not true. All of my contributions come from the small working man, from the middle class. It's all from the mafia.
Congressman, what's your position on equal rights for women?
My position on equal rights for women. I'm glad you asked that. I look forward toward a day when all Americans are equal, regardless of sex. I'm looking toward a day when they're kind of equal. I'm looking at your boobs.
Congressman.
Yes.
There have been rumors that you're having marital problems.
Nonsense. I've been happily married for 25 years. I've never been with another woman. Once. All right, last night I had 6 Chinese girls on a forklift truck. Are you satisfied? Yes.
Are you a bribe-taking, gay, communist, peeping Tom wife-beater?
No, 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 no. 2 out of 5 ain't bad. 4 out of 5 ain't bad. In conclusion, if I'm elected, I'll be the most honest candidate ever elected. You can trust me!